Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor. I just got my doctorate, so I'm now Dr. John, which is kind of fun. And I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And I know that we're in different times. I know that we're in uncertain times. And so that's part of why last week when I did a podcast, I talked about really what's going on. I shared a little bit about how I'm doing with this social distancing. I'm obviously at home recording my podcast, which is where I always record it, is from home. But I miss people. I miss hanging out with my neighbors. I miss hanging out with friends here in Oregon. And we're all basically stuck at home, which I know is the right thing, but it doesn't make it any easier. And so last week's podcast was a little bit different. I think I told you, if you go to spencerauthor.com, there are some free resources that you can use. There's a free ebook about getting your courses online. I also did a writing prompt that you can download, again, for free. If you go to videowritingprompts.com, you'll see all these different writing prompts that you can use in the classroom. But I actually created one specifically for this theme of social isolation. And it's about, being transported to a novel that you've read before. And hopefully something there is of use. Today's podcast is going to be way, way different. And I'm warning you about it when I say different. I really mean it. It is going to be a different kind of podcast. And what it is I am creating a novel. Now, years ago, I made this novel. It was a stressful time in our life as a family. We just moved to Oregon. My kids didn't have any friends. We were feeling pretty lonely. And just in the midst of the stress, I knew that they needed an escape. I knew that they needed fun. And so I made this story up. And at the time, it was about a superhero tacos because we love tacos in our family. I've since changed it to a superhero pizza because there's more that you could do with a pizza in terms of pliable hands that are made of cheese and whatnot. And I'm creating this because I think that there's a real place for deep social emotional learning in hard novels with social issues and all that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of value in those books. But I also know that some kids, in the midst of this chaos, in the midst of this uncertainty, in these kind of unprecedented times, I think there's a value in just something a little bit frivolous, something a little bit fun, something that's kind of humorous and has some levity to it. And so that's the point of why I'm releasing this book. I know that these times can be a little bit scary. I've had some friends and colleagues who have had some close calls, and it has been scary, and we don't know what any of this will look like. But I think there's something about laughter, there's something about goofiness and silliness that can make a difference in the midst of that time. So the rest of this podcast is actually going to be a preview. Here's how it works. The Awkwardly Awesome Adventures of Super Pizza is the name of it. And you can subscribe to it on my blog. And if you go to spencerauthor.com/middle-grade-novel. The other thing you can just do is go to my blog and look up just the name of it. And you'll see it's one of the first ones to pop up. So you can check it out. If you want to get a preview of the first chapter as well, you can go to spencerauthor.com/pizza1. So that is your other option in terms of being able to access it. And here's how it works. You just sign up, and each day I will send you the audio file, the text file, and a couple of discussion questions you can do with your students. And it will also be available, the text and the audio, on my blog. Now, is this free? Yes, it is absolutely free. I'm just doing this because my hope is to bring some cheer and some levity and some fun to middle grade students. So hopefully this is something you can use, something that you can enjoy. And without further ado, here is the preview. Chapter 1. In case you're wondering, I'm just like any other 11-year-old boy. Well, except my hands are made of mozzarella. Oh, and instead of eating ice cream or hamburgers or Hot Pockets, I guzzle ranch dressing like it's nobody's business, and I plow through packets of Parmesan cheese at a rate that is probably unhealthy for a human. Come to think of it, I'm probably not at all like any boy you'll ever meet. Technically, I'm not even a boy. I'm a slice of pizza. Now, if you're having a hard time believing that a slice of pizza could write a book or speak or anything like that, then you should probably leave right now. Just turn this off. Because trust me, even more unbelievable things are about to happen. Bizarre things like a giant ice-flinging sentient robot attacking our city. So I'm weird. I get that. But my dad, well, he's even more weird. I know every kid says this. We all think our parents are odd, but my dad wears the same white lab coat every single day. He refers to our rickety house on a hill as his lair. He has vials of glowing liquid, and when he gets really excited, you'll hear his maniacal laugh from across the house. See, my dad is the oldest child in the 11th generation of a string of supervillains dating all the way back to the Middle Ages. My dad refers to himself as a mad scientist, but I've never seen him get mad or angry or even slightly irritated. Take, for example, this story. When I was a newborn pizza and had just come to life, our refrigerator went missing. And my dad's response was, "Gee there, I hope whoever stole the fridge didn't hurt their backs. I mean, if you're going to put in all that effort to steal a fridge, you must be in dire need of a large household appliance." For years, my dad tried his hardest to be a villain. He spent his days making deadly devices. Well, they weren't actually deadly. They were supposed to be deadly, but he never quite turned out that way. One time he invented a shrink ray that was supposed to shrink the entire city, and he could have the whole town basically inside of his living room. But then he felt bad about it, and he changed the settings so that it only shrunk people's underwear. Now don't get me wrong, people totally freaked out when their underwear was no longer able to fit right. And collectively, the whole town went on a diet. But when he saw the townspeople buying kale and quinoa, he felt bad about the stunt and returned the town's underwear back to normal. He just couldn't bear to see the town reduced to eating kale, and I can't blame him. His next big project was creating an ooze that would make objects come to life and serve as his army of minions. This would be his chance to prove to his family once and for all that he was a true supervillain. It took him 3 years to perfect the potion, and on a lazy summer afternoon, he placed a drop of the ooze on a stack of paper clips. They bounced around like grasshoppers, knocking down his beakers and getting tangled in his hair. And that's when he swatted away a particularly bouncy paper clip and accidentally dropped his lunch in the ooze. By his lunch, I mean me. It sounds pretty sketchy when you think of it that way. I mean, no one wants to think that they were once their parents' lunch, but that was me. The way I see it, though, is I became something entirely different. When I came to life as a petite pizza, I was something new. I was real. See, he shoved his lunch in the fridge and tried to salvage any of the remaining ooze left on the table. After filling the jar, he tossed a rag in the garbage and opened up the fridge, and that's when he saw me, a tiny shivering slice of pizza sitting in the fridge. He wrapped me up in a blanket, well, actually a napkin, which is sort of a blanket for pizza, and promised me that he would be the kind of father that he never actually had. "I'll never let anyone hurt you," he promised. And from that day on, everything changed. The entire Repugno family disowned him for treating me like a son rather than a minion. My dad quit making deadly devices, which again had never actually been that deadly. But instead, he used his engineering expertise to build intricate birdhouses. His mad genius had made him one of the foremost experts in aviary structures. if you need to identify a rare species of warbler, he'll talk your head off about it. But if you need to have someone build a home for that warbler, well, he's definitely your guy. On the other hand, if you need him to take down a whole city, he'll just smile politely and say, "Oh, that's not really my thing there anymore, but could I interest you in a birdhouse?" And you'll probably feel so bad about asking him for a villainous contraption to take down a city that you will fork over the money and buy a birdhouse. Now, as I grew older, my dad did everything in his power to keep me safe. And when I say everything, I mean everything. I wanted to join the Boy Scouts, but he reminded me that they were called Boy Scouts and not Pizza Scouts. And then he tried to create a Pizza Scouts at our house, and it was just me. It was not very exciting. When I wanted to play basketball, he told me that my thin crust would snap in half. So I never played sports. I never rode a bike. I never rode a roller coaster, and I am pretty tall for a slice of pizza. I mean, I'm a solid 5'6" right now. I wasn't even allowed to watch most of my TV shows as a young pizza. I remember it. "Dad, can I watch the Care Bears? Have you ever seen that show? Bears come down from the clouds and they've got those scary tattoos on their stomach and they want to give you a hug? No, thank you. How about you watch Bob Ross instead?" "Dad, can I watch Dora the Explorer? Dora walks around unsupervised. No way. She gets chased by a polar bear. A fox tries to rob her. That's terribly violent, son. Why don't we watch Bob Ross instead?" "Dad, can I at least watch Barney? Is that the one with the purple dinosaur?" "Yeah, but he's a safe dinosaur. He sings songs." "I bet he does. Before he gets hungry, then all bets are off. Do you want to watch children getting eaten by dinosaurs on live television?" "I don't think it's live," I pointed out, "and I'm pretty sure it's pre-recorded." "Well, it's not happening on my watch. How about we watch some Bob Ross together?" "Hey, Dad, can I watch Strawberry Shortcake? Those girls who live alone in the confectionery cottages, they cook food unsupervised. They could get hurt. Plus, all they eat is the sweets. At that rate, they're going to die before they turn 30. I can't have you watch that. How about we watch some Bob Ross instead?" "Dad, can I watch Caillou? Sorry, buddy. But that boy is so scared and so angry and so anxious. Poor kid. He's so stressed that he's gone bald before he reached the age of 5. Why don't we watch..." "Let me guess, Bob Ross." "How did you know?" "And for that reason, I have always been prevented from leaving the lair. I just sit at home all day long." But all of that was about to change one fateful morning.